We've been talking here in chapter 1 about Paul's prayer. And his prayer is built around what God has given us. And so we've talked about the resources that we have in Christ. In fact, in your bulletin today, I've included a list of 36 things that we received when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. 36 things that God has done for us, that he's given us when we trusted him as our Savior. And you might want to look at that, study it out, and giving you some references so you can have a better understanding of the wonderful, wonderful benefits that we have because we are believers in Jesus Christ. And so we talked a little last week about the power that we have in Christ. But Paul focuses, this morning I want to focus a little bit, as he does, on the mechanics and the functions of divine power. What he's praying about here is that these people, and so us also, they will know who they are in Jesus Christ. They will know the resources they have in Christ. And also to understand the incomparable greatness of his power. The surpassing greatness of God's power. And I want to go on and do a little bit more today because this is such an important doctrine. It's such an important principle for you and I who are trying to serve Jesus Christ in a world that in so many ways is anti-Christ, so we can understand what our resources are, how we can operate in an anti-God world. So he talks about power there in verse 19, and I said to you that was inherent power. It's the power that comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's one of the things that happened when we trusted Christ as Savior. Every believer, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Every believer has it, but not all use it. It's like we have power in a light switch. There's power there, but if we don't turn it on, we cannot use it. We can't take advantage of it. So our objective as believers in Christ is how can we utilize inherent power, indwelling power? How can we utilize, as we go through this journey called life, how can we utilize the omnipotence of God in us? If the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit is God, and God is omnipotent, we have access to the omnipotence of God. We just got to figure out how to reach that and how to get that access. So he lays out his power structure, verses 19 and 20. He talks about inherent power. I told you there were four different words for power. He talks about operating power, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ruling power, which is when we submit to the authority and the teaching and the principles of the Word of God, and ultimately that comes out in great strength or applied power. That's where we begin to mature as Christians. We mature spiritually and become those people that God has planned for us to be. So this power is available to us. The filling of the Spirit is the basis for all that is accomplished in the Christian life. We get filled with the Spirit when we wash out, let God wash out what's all against him within us, and let him fill us with his power. 1 John 1:9 is the simple formula. If we confess our sins, if we admit our sins to him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us. He washes us, gets all of that stuff out of the way, so then he can fill us with his power. We have all the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to get. We have all of the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of us. And quite often we're trying to do our thing, doing what we want to do, what we think is right. And the Holy Spirit, we set him aside. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything without Jesus. So filling of the Spirit is the means to the end and not an end in itself. The end is to establish the rule and the authority of the Word of God in our inner life. And that's ruling power that we talked about. And that requires study. You can't apply the Word of God to you if you don't know it. So it takes a lot of study, a lot of meditation, a lot of work, spending time in the Word of God to learn what the Word of God says. Filling is done in a moment. You confess that sin and let God take over. But ruling power only occurs in the soul through a consistent intake of the Word of God over a period of time. That's why it takes years and years and years for someone to... We see it physically. We see it emotionally. It takes years for people to grow, mature emotionally, physically. It also takes years for people to grow and mature spiritually. And when that begins to happen, that last power comes in and it's the manifest. We begin to see it work out of a person's life. As we watch them and observe them, we see spiritual growth and maturity. Three things I want to share with you as we apply this thing about power. And we want to direct our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we're meeting about. It's all about him, especially today as we think about the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. And he tells us here in verse 19 that Christ's power is incomparable. His power is unsurpassed. His power is incomparably great. And that phrase there comes from a Greek word that means to cast beyond or to throw beyond. In other words, his power goes above and beyond what you and I think greatness would be. You think of you consider your definition of greatness, and God throws Christ, his power, far beyond the greatest thought of what you think the greatest power is. Greatest nuclear or hydrogen bomb can't even touch the great power of Jesus Christ. Now, that power that I'm talking about today, that Paul is talking about, is available to every one of us. Many Christians live discouraging lives. They're overwhelmed by their circumstances. They're overwhelmed by their problems, a bad relationship, lose a job. They have a sickness, illness, a death. They grieve over this and that, and they have difficulty facing that because they don't understand the power that they have available to them. And that word power is the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get our word for dynamite, but even beyond that, where we get our word for dynamic. Jesus' power is dynamic. It continually grows. And again, this is inherent power. It's power available to us because it resides in each believer. It's his incomparably great power, Paul says, for us who believe. This power is not available to unbelievers. It's available just to believers in Christ. Surpassing greatness, incomparably great power, goes beyond inherent power. Now, as we look at a light switch, that switch is off. There's power there. It's inherent power. But that power has to be turned on for it to be usable. That's the same thing we're talking about here. God has given us power within us, potential power, inherent power, residing power. Why? Because he doesn't want us to live with just inherent power. He's given us that power, and it's there whether we utilize it or even recognize it, but his plan goes beyond that. God has given us inherent power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God living within us. But God's plan is that something happens to us beyond just placing his power in us. We have the power because we are indwelt by God. Divine omnipotence dwells within us. We are the house or the residence of the Godhead because God wants to do something in our lives that goes beyond simply living within us. I think we'd all agree that there's more to a home than just eating and sleeping there. And that's the point I'm making here. God wants to do more than just dwell within us. God wants to give us that power, that ability to go beyond our own ability. So how does he do that? Well, he tells us as we go through these next few words and verses, he casts us beyond where we are. He talks about operational power. You know, I found out some time ago there was a fan here. And some of you saw me using my handkerchief, wiping off the sweat, because it was pretty hot in here a few weeks. And so there was power in that switch, but I didn't turn it on. So it was useless to me. I didn't get any benefit out of the fan. It wasn't until I turned the fan on that it began to do what it was supposed to do. Same thing with God. We have God's power dwelling within us. But unless we make it operational, it's useless to us. It needs to be turned on through the filling of the Holy Spirit, where we confess our sins to God, repent of our sins, and be cleansed and let God say, God, here's my life. Here's what I give my life to you for whatever you want me to do. Operational power. Then ruling power, where we then submit to the reading and the study and the obedience to the Word of God. And then ultimately, matured or applied strength. That's what he's talking about here. A power that is available to us, divine omnipotence power within each and every one of us that is put into operation when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then he says in the next verse that Christ is exalted above all beings. This power that I'm talking about is the same power that exalted him, the same power that raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God, the Father, in the heavenlies. And this is the power that's available to you and me, according to Paul. And it says that this power is above all. It's above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that's ever invoked at this time and in the future. This power is above all power that you and I can imagine. He is exalted above all beings. And then he tells us that this is all to be used, and it's affordable to us or available to us through the church, because he says Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's over all. He placed all things under his foot. You think of a footstool where you put your feet up on that footstool. That's kind of the picture here of Jesus. Jesus will put all things under his feet when the world comes to an end. God the Father appointed Jesus the Son to be head over all things to the church. The church is not mine. The church is not yours. It's not leaders. The church is Jesus Christ's church. He is the head. He is the leader. He is the authority of his church. And yet, he tells us that we are the fullness of him. Here in verse 22, we are the fullness of him who fills everything. I think it's an interesting statement that Paul makes. In a way, Jesus is incomplete without us. I'm not saying he's imperfect. Not saying he's less than God. But the way he is planned out his plan, he has decided to, he could do everything himself, but he's decided to use us. He's decided to use believers to accomplish his will in this world, to help follow his mission, to fill this world with people who love him. And he calls us, we're the fullness of him that fills everything. He fills everything. And yet he says, we are the fullness of him. We are the church. He calls us the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head of his body, and he lives his life in this world through us. 2,000 years ago, God came into this world in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. We call it the incarnation. And as he roamed through the Middle East, and he walked on this earth, his footsteps went all over Palestine. The world got to see God. The world got to be impacted by God as he healed the lame. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. The world saw what God is really like. A lot of them didn't like it. Many of them opposed him. The religionists opposed him. Ultimately, took his life. But the world got to see God. Now, as you look at Jesus' life, you look at Paul's life, you realize the world doesn't always like what they see out of God. The world always doesn't agree with what they see out of God. But you see, now we come to this age and this era. We are to be Jesus to this world. He doesn't walk the world in bodily form anymore. We are his body. He is the head directing us, but we are his body. And the only way that the world is going to see God today is in the lives of his people. As you and I work out our salvation in this world and we follow him, we obey him, the world can see Jesus. The world can see God. So we need power to do that. I can't live for him in my own power and my own strength. But he tells us we are filled with his fullness, and he has chosen to radiate himself to the world through us. So because of that, he's incomplete in the world without us. What an incredible thought. To know that God has limited himself in a way, so to speak, to use you and me, imperfect creatures we are, but he has chosen to use us. Those obedient believers who said, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Use me for your glory and for your purpose. I think, ladies and gentlemen, if we can get a grip on the greatness of God and his power that is available to every one of us, I believe it'll change your life. You'll never be the same when you really get an understanding of the power that is available to you. It gives us, as we go through the world, we stand for him. There's going to be opposition. The Christian believer, the believer is always going upstream against this culture. The believer in Jesus Christ is always going against the grain in the beliefs and the attitudes and the mores of the world. We're always going in opposition to the majority. Martin Luther King said many years ago, the Christian is called upon not to be like a thermometer conforming to the temperature of his society, but he must be like a thermostat serving to transform the temperature of his society. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the job, the commission Jesus has given us, to be used to transform the society, to make disciple after disciple after disciple, ultimately filling this world with people who love God. And so our goal is not to please people. It's not to go through life not offending people. Our goal is to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And that takes courage. Not just to stand, but sometimes to stand alone. Are you willing to not just take a stand, but to stand alone for him? Until the pain of saying the same becomes more acute than the pain of change, nothing happens. We simply maintain the status quo. We're not satisfied with that. We don't like it. But we convince ourselves that playing it safe is safe. And yet, you look through history, you look through the scriptures, the greatest risk in life is taking no risk at all. So we need power to do what he wants us to do, to be obedient to him, to accomplish his plan, his will in our lives. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Power. Jesus Christ came, among other things, to give us power. And so this morning, as you think about this, do you sense the power of God upon your life? Are you making use and utilizing the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you frustrated this morning with some things you're dealing with? Are you discouraged? Are you defeated? Are you overwhelmed by your situation? Power is available, and I encourage you this morning. Yield yourself to him. Make sure there's nothing between you and him. Make your relationship with him the absolute priority of your life, and let him use you for your glory. You'll find more contentment, more happiness, more joy than you ever thought possible. Father, help us. We think of these things this morning, that you will be glorified magnified. You will have your way and your will in our lives. We praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.